have been proposed. They go by the name of heavy barrier and cloud perturbation theory, infrared regularization scheme, and extended unmasked shell regularization scheme. Now, in order to extract the pi-pi scattering amplitude from the main process, we first have to deal with a number of important issues. The first and foremost question is, how well does heavy baryon formalism reproduce the main reaction experimentally so that we can extract pi-pi scattering amplitude from that reaction? Next, how fast does the series converge? Related issues are, how large are the low energy constants of the theory? And how significant are loop corrections or unitarity corrections in this formula? And then there is a question which is of purely phenomenological interest. Given that Carl perturbation theory is the effective field theory of QCD at low energies, the question is, how high in energy can one go before the formalism actually breaks down in terms of not being able to reproduce the data? Let me say a few words about the formalism to introduce my notation for future reference. The effective chiral Lagrangian can be written as a string of terms for different Lagrangian pieces with increasing chiral order. In this calculation, we are interested in looking at amplitudes of chiral order 3, because loops in this formalism first appear in that chiral order. And the Lagrangian pieces which contribute to transition amplitude at chiral order 3 are indicated here. Lagrangians of order 2 and 4 in the mesonic sector, 1, 2, and 3 in the meson baryon sector. For future reference, also let me mention that in the framework of effective field theory approach, the short distance dynamics of QCD are assumed to be encoded in the low energy constants of the theory. Let's look at each sector of the theory a bit more closely. The building blocks of the chiral Lagrangian in the meson sector include the SU2 parameterization of the pion as a triplet, pion Carl covariant derivative, the scalars chi, chi plus minus, and vector u mu, which has derivatives of the pion flow. In the limit of having no external background field, this expression is actually simplified quite a bit. Let's do some accounting for the Lagrangian pieces that are required for this calculation in the meson sector. At the leading order, there are two low energy constants in the SU2 parameterization. These are the pion decay constant and pion mass, which are for well known. At next leading order, in the SP2 parameterization, there are 7 low energy constants. 4 of them contribute to the reaction in question, and all of them are previously determined. So we don't have to deal with them in this particular calculation. Okay. Moving on to meson sector, in addition to the pion field and its derivative, we have the nucleon Carl covariant derivative, and then we have the heavy baryon version of Pauli-Lubomirsky vector. In the heavy baryon formalism, one starts out with psi, which is the Dirac field to represent the nucleon, and then one performs a heavy field transformation, which essentially removes the nucleon mass from the leading order Lagrangian, or from the propagator and put it in the denominator of higher order interaction vertices. And as such, a 1 over m expansion of the Lagrangian is produced. And this is in addition to the chiral expansion of Lagrangian. Let's look at Lagrangian pieces involved. At the leading order, there are two low energy constants. Both will contribute to the reaction of interest. And both of them, of course, are well known, the nucleon axion charge mass. At next to leading order, there are 7 low energy constants. 5 will contribute to the reaction of interest. And they're all previously determined in connection with pi and elastic scattering. At the loop level, at chiral order 3, in SV2 parameterization, there are 23 low energy constants. 13 of them will contribute to the reaction of interest. 7 have been previously determined in connection with elastic pi scattering. 6 are specific to this reaction, and we need to determine them in the course of this work. To put the calculation into some perspective, on this slide, I have shown the topologically distinct Feynman graphs, which contribute to the reaction of interest at 1 loop level. There are 50 such graphs, not including the self-energy diagrams. Once the external legs are labeled with charge states and the vertices are marked with appropriate chiral order, we have an order of a few hundred Feynman graphs for each reaction channel. Some more details about the calculations, and then I will show you some results. There are 5 experimentally accessible channels. The unknown low energy constant, the 6 that I mentioned earlier, are determined by fitting the total reaction cross section and the double differential cross section in the threshold region, the low energy region. And these are the numerical values of those coefficients that I will return to later on. Fitting these coefficients actually turned out to be a challenge, so we used some techniques of denormalization group equations to arrive at initial guesses to input into our search routine. On this slide, I have sample fits to the reaction cross-section data in the low energy region, at the threshold region. The dotted and dashed curves are respectively calculations of chiral order 1 and 2. And the solid curves here is the full calculation of chiral order 1 plus 2 plus 3. I guess the main observation here is that in order to reproduce the data at the quantitative level, contribution of chiral order 3 are significant and are essential. Sample fits for double differential cross sections, of course, the results look good because they are fits, of course. And the message is the same thing. Contributions of chiral order 3 are essential, and without those, the data will be seriously underestimated. All right, let me now show you some predictions. These are predictions in the sense that they no longer involve any fitting parameters. Let's look at the total reaction cross-section data in a broader kinematic range. Here we have calculations of chiral order 1, 2, and the solid curve is the full calculation. Once again, without loop corrections or unitarity corrections, the data cannot be produced. Another example, invariant cross-section in S and T channels of the dipi and final state. The shape of the experimental data is produced largely because of contributions of chiral order 3. One more example. Here we have the five-fold differential cross-section or the angular correlation data. let's look at contributions of Carl order 1 and 2, and this solid curve here is the full calculation. Once again, the emphasis is on the significance of unitary corrections or loop corrections. Next, let me show you a result. It's a prediction for which there is no published experimental data yet, but I understand that the experimental analysis is in progress. The observable of interest is a polarization observable, which is essentially the asymmetry parameter in the reaction of interest. The significance of this observable is that within the framework of the heavy baryon formalism, this observable would be identically equal to zero in the absence of loop corrections. The reason being that the asymmetry or polarization observable is proportional to the interference terms between real and imaginary parts of the amplitudes. And in this framework, the imaginary parts arise entirely from loop corrections. Okay. All right. Earlier, I mentioned that a main motivation for studying the pi-induced pi production on nucleon is the extraction of pi-pi scattering amplitude. Those quantities can be extracted from the so-called threshold isospin amplitude, which are called V1 and V2. Here I have order by order breakdown of these coefficients. The theoretical uncertainties come from the uncertainties in the values of low energy constants. And I have compared my results with the experimental data here. There are two observations to be made here. First of all, to the extent that the data can be reproduced, it's because of contribution of Carl order 3. And second, the agreement between theory and experiment is not that good. So the pi-pi scattering amplitude actually cannot be extracted easily from existing data. Let me say a few more words to emphasize the unitarity corrections, and then I'll move on to my summary and conclusions. Quite generically, the amplitude, the transition amplitude for the reaction of interest can be parameterized in this form, where F1, F2, F3, and F4 are scalar functions of momenta. Within the framework of our calculations, imaginary parts of invariant amplitudes originate entirely from the loops. And as such, they are parameter-free quantities in that they do not involve any unknown parameter. And I have listed those quantities in red in these two tables for two sample reaction channels. In the first reaction channel involving q pi 0 in the final state, you can see that the unitarity corrections or the imaginary parts of the loop amplitudes can be as large as the real part. For the other reaction channel, those corrections are relatively small, but the main conclusion is that in general, they are not negligible. And this takes me to my conclusions. First, so far as comparison with data is concerned, the data can be reproduced reasonably well at the semi-quantitative level, largely due to contributions of Carl order 3. There are, however, a number of important issues. Some of the low energy constants of Carl order 3 are substantially larger than their natural size. The natural size of low energy constants of a Carl order 3 in the standard Carl scheme is expected to be of order 1 if you had a converging series. As I showed you earlier, those constants are actually of order 10, or as large as 20 or 30. I've also shown you that in some reaction channels, the unitarity corrections or loop corrections are quite large. These two observations put together raise the following question. Is the heavy baryon formalism a rapidly converging series, or is it converging at all? For completeness sake, let me also mention that the slow convergence of the heavy baryon formalism has also been observed for other processes in different work. Okay? So where do we go from here? Let me begin with an optimistic scenario. The short distance dynamics of QCD, in principle, are encoded in the low energy constants of the theory. Now, if it so happens that for some reason the essence of underlying QCD physics is captured in constants of probability 3, then conceivably corrections of higher order can be small and one can obtain a well-behaved series in terms of convergence once again. However, to verify that statement, one needs to calculate contributions of Carl order 4, which, by the way, will complete the one-loop analysis. Our calculations is complete to Carl order 3, which has some loops, but they are not complete to one loop. Alternatively, one can include the heavy degrees of freedom or low-lying resonances in this scheme as dynamical degrees of freedom into the chiral Lagrangian. The drawback of this method is that it will probably wreck the power counting scheme. And also, to some extent, this is against the philosophy of effective field theory, in that the dynamics of heavy degrees of freedom should be included in the low energy constants. So if we use this approach, we should be careful about double counting. The most logical course of action is to evaluate the same process within the framework of infrared regularization scheme or extended unmatched shell renormalization scheme. These methods have one advantage compared to the heavy baryon formalism, and the advantage is that they're manifested Lorentz covariant. In addition, they provide consistent power counting scheme and may offer an improved convergence rate for Carl series of interest. And my final conclusion is that the question of extraction of pi-pi scattering amplitudes from data can be addressed only after the convergence issues have been dealt with. Thank you.